to progesterone. And the questions were sent to 1988. Those questions, with my letter, went to this company. Since then, I didn't know that. They were now stalking me. Come 1997, I didn't know that I was being targeted, but not by one company, but several companies. How do we now get rid of this guy? And I was fighting racism in the department. All of a sudden, this company comes to have another drug approved. We have a meeting, and they filed a complaint after the meeting about my behavior from the meeting to my director general, saying they judged from my body language at the meeting that I'm fundamentally opposed to their molecule. That they've judged from my body language that given the opportunity, I will never approve their drug. And then an investigation was done, and I took... they said, next time you come here, we want senior management to be present here. I said, sure. In that case, I'll say what I have to say in their presence. Because it's my job to say whether the data on behalf of the Minister of Health have been received or not, and whether it's satisfactory. If I say, yes, I've received and it is satisfactory, then something goes wrong, then I go to jail. So therefore, I'm just doing my job. Anyhow, to cut the long story short, the department, now they didn't find anything wrong that I'd done, and then everything went silent. And the company spread that all over the place, all over the United States, to other companies and everywhere else. This guy, oh, watch out for him. He doesn't pass molecules. Well, at this point, because nobody took away my job, nobody took away my income, suspended, nothing. They didn't do anything to me. So even my union couldn't defend me because no damage, actual financial damage was not done to me. They said, this is a civil litigation, so you have to fight on your own. So I went looking for a lawyer in town. A lawyer referred to me and said, oh, there's a fellow called Andrew Davis. He's a famous lawyer in litigation of that kind. Go talk to him. I went and talked to him. He said, you're doing the right thing, but you can't win. Because you're going to fight against a multi-billion dollar company, and it'll cost you $40,000 to get started, and then you'll go bankrupt. But he said, you should be talking to my wife. I said, who's your wife? He says, Maude Barlow. I said, Maude Barlow, your wife? I said, I knew her from municipal politics many years ago. I've been trying to connect with her. He said, you just did. She'll call you at home. She's in Europe right now, but she will. Well, from that time to now, Maude Barlow called me at home, and she said, what I did was, there's a method to blowing the whistle, which I've developed. When you blow the whistle, you make it public everywhere. Don't send a brown envelope. Make it known everywhere if you're a net. Always tell the truth. And say you're protecting the public interest and make sure you are. Now, nobody can catch you. That's what I did. So Maude said, can you... I wrote a letter to the Minister of Health at that time that I want you to intervene to safeguard the public interest because your officials above me are doing such and such. They are all corrupt. Minister Dingwall, a few days later, lost election. I never saw him again. Then comes Rock, and the story went on for a while. And Maude Barlow said... can you give me that letter that you sent to the minister? I said, sure. I gave it to her. She gave it to the Toronto Star. The story appeared the next day. And then the next day, I got a call from Canada AM. And I appeared there. I just told them the story that I told you minutes ago about hormones and antibiotics and other things in our food supply. And on that day, a company in Toronto sold me to the media. I got calls for the next 5 hours all over from Canada and competing for my voice for 3 minutes. And that caused enormous problem in the government. They put a gag order on me. And then they said, you cannot speak anywhere without our permission because your duty of loyalty to the public, to your employer. I said, duty of loyalty to the employer, but who is my employer? Not Health Canada, not Treasury Board, not the Prime Minister. It is the public of Canada. I said, if you people don't believe me, read your history. This is our parliament, our democracy is patterned after the British democracy since Charles I was beheaded. I said, I may be born in India, but I do know my history. And that's how public took charge in England. Because the Charles I had caused that problem by swindling money without consulting with Parliament and declaring war on Scotland. But unfortunately, since that time, our democracy still has been lost. Now, in the last 3 or 4 months since I've been fired, now that I'm fired, they can't fire me again, so I appear everywhere. Government, the new government, has brought three bills. And those were called, one was called C-11 on whistleblowing. The other one was called C-27. This is the special powers given to the CFIA. And C-28, this is for Health Canada. Let me deal with C-28 first. That basically says that the Minister of Health can give temporary approvals to veterinary drugs and pesticides. Temporary approvals. They don't have to receive data. They don't have to tell you anything, what they received, what damage it could do, whatever. The Minister of Health can give temporary approvals. And if damage occurs later on, we'll do something about it then. That's one. C-28. C-27 is a special powers to be given to the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. Some of you may not know that the CFIA is a special agency that the government created in 1996 out of the Department of Agriculture. They're basically inspectors, but they've privatized them, and they've given them now two roles. One is to keep on inspecting as they used to before, for food safety or anybody breaks the rules or regulations of the government and the standards that Health Canada establishes. That's what the job used to be. But now the next job is to also promote food produced in Canada together with corporations like Monsanto and so on. So in other words, you go to India, you go to Thailand, you say, you follow our technology, genetically modified and this and that. Canada is the best, so therefore do this. This is what CFIA has been doing for the last several years. Now, after what happened, the September 11, all of a sudden, governments have found some new method how to screw the public. Now, under the garb of terrorism, bioterrorism, or terrorists coming to or this boogeyman that they've created, now under these emergency powers they want to give to the CFIA, which means the CFIA will now be able to be in charge of about 10 different Canadian laws that come under the criminal code, and they will be the sole people responsible for those. They can arrest you. They can go to farms at any time of the day. They can do whatever. This is C-27. I've appeared before parliamentary committees on all those, and a lot of people are objecting to such powers, draconian powers, to be given to the CFIA and taking away the powers from existing powers from Health Canada and other agencies of the government. That is what's about to happen. I suggest that what you're doing is fine, that we have to resist this and that. But I think time has come for the public to rise up, to say we're not going to let you do this to our children, our grandchildren, our future generations, and our food, because we're talking food. If they want to do it that way, if they want to make money, nothing wrong with making money. I produce a paper for Health Canada. It's very simple. Everything is covered by insurance whenever there is damage that occurs in life. You take a plane ride, you drive your cars, you live in a home, everything is covered by insurance. And when damage occurs, you cannot get a mortgage on your house unless you have a fire insurance. You cannot drive your car without insurance. Why is Monsanto? Why is Pfizer? Why is Eli Lilly? Why is Merck? Why are all these companies able to do what they do without taking insurance ahead of time? There should be requirement by the public that money put aside this percentage of money from your profits when damage occurs, so that the public is not screwed the second time, so that they pay for the damage. Whenever I say that, the companies run away. I think this is a demand that we have to make, that if, first of all, it should not be happening, but if it is going to happen, then there should be insurance policy imposed on the companies. Thank you.